So in October, we were putting together our preaching calendar for 2023, and we wanted to have a guest preacher in this time slot. And the first person on our list was Pastor Louis Colon, which made my job really easy when the first person said yes. So Louis is the pastor at Heart and Soul Community Church in downtown Rochester. And the Free Methodist churches in this area are known as the Genesis Conference. And Louis has, for a long time, been one of the best leaders, pastors, and speakers in the conference. So we are so excited to have him here. Will you welcome Pastor Louis Colon to Northgate?
Thank you, brother. Thank you so much. Praise God. Thank you so much. Good morning to you all. Bring greetings from the inner city of Rochester, New York, where I have been had the privilege of pastoring for some years now. And where I pastor is definitely the hood. It's in the inner city of Rochester. And I like to, people ask me all the time, you know, is it dangerous in the inner city? Because we have stuff going on. And I say, absolutely, but in the 17 years that I have been there, not once have we ever had an incident. And that's the protection in the hand of God over his church, amen? And yeah, absolutely, praise God for that. Batavia is special in my heart. When I was a teenager, I came to a youth ministry conference here called Acquire the Fire. I was a teenager, and God met me at that conference, and God used that day to touch me and to draw my heart closer to him. And so I always have special, kind of a special association with Batavia. But I also remember that in that conference, the leaders at some point had the great and grand idea, especially for an introverted, shy teenager like I was, believe it or not, that was the case. So if you're shy and introverted, God can do something in your life, amen? You never know what God's going to do. But the leaders said, hey, we're going to divide up the city of Batavia, and we're going to send out our different youth groups to different areas to share the love of Jesus. And I loved, you know, I was starting to have a relationship with God. I loved God so much that I was scared to death about that. It's like, oh my goodness, we're going to go outside and talk to people. And so they started calling the different youth groups that were there. The youth group from this place and this place. You're going to go here. You're going to go. And we were waiting. Our youth group was waiting. But there was one problem. Our youth group's name was never called. And so what does a youth group do who's hungry for God but not sure exactly what to do? Our names weren't called. Well, we do what any other youth group would do that is hungry for God. We went to McDonald's, bless the Lord. And we had a wonderful meal, and our youth pastor talked to us about wanting and desiring to share the love of Jesus. And so Batavia has a special place in my heart. So thank you again for having me. I honor Pastor Vern. Thank you. And Pastor John is a friend, and Pastor DL as well. So God bless you guys. And let's pray and ask God to minister to us this morning. Father, we need you this morning. If it had not been for you, God, we do not know where we would be. And so we thank you for that. Holy Spirit, lead and guide today. Open up hearts and minds. Break chains, God. Bring comfort and healing to our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. About 9 years ago, I went to the hospital with my wife, and we were going to have our second child. We had been trying to have another baby for a long time. And so our seven-year-old son, we dropped him off at mom and dad's, my parents' house, and we went to the hospital and had great expectations of this new baby to come. While we were in the hospital, we were there for a few days, and I was awakened early one morning by the sounds of birth pains, and anyone who has experienced that knows what I'm talking about. My wife started saying, hey, this is, you know, I'm feeling the contractions. And so I try to be a good husband, be next to her, by her side. And I know you, as a husband, you practice all these things before, like, you know, massages and words and encouragement, and had a playlist for her and everything. And, but at some point, fairly quickly, we realized that something was going wrong. She started to say, I feel like I'm going to faint. I feel like I'm going to faint. And you know, in my ignorance, you know, as a guy, I was like, well, if I had those pains, I would feel like I'm going to faint too. So I just assumed that it was fine. But I could tell that the nurse seemed a little bit nervous. And at some point, you know, she was holding on to my hand. Baby was still in the belly. We weren't we weren't anywhere close to giving birth yet, but just the beginning of that process. And she was holding onto my hand because she was in pain, but then she was saying, I feel like I'm going to faint. And at some point, what in one moment had been a grip in my hand, she said, I feel like I'm going to faint. And she started to struggle to breathe, and all of a sudden, she stopped breathing, and her hand went completely limp in mine. And I still remember that moment. It was a 2 seconds of just shock, and I started, honey, her name was Joanne, and I said to the doctor, the nurse, she's not breathing. And in that moment, an army of doctors and nurses invaded the room, pushed me to the side, and started working on her. By God's grace, somebody came and escorted me out of the room, because what I didn't know that was happening at that moment was they were trying to revive her because she had lost consciousness. Baby was still in the belly. I remember I went to a waiting room. It was dark, and I just went in there and got on my knees and said, oh, God, please. I remember several times a doctor came in to update me on what was happening, and when she came in the first time, I saw her face. And I said, no, when I saw her face, was so scared, I said, Lord, no, she cannot tell me what I don't want to hear right now. And she didn't. She said, we're still working on her. She's still with us, but just be patient. We're still working on her. And what I didn't know what was happening was they couldn't get her back quickly enough. And so medically, they had decided that the baby and mom have a better chance of life if they take the baby out. And so they had an emergency C-section that they did, and they took the baby out. And I remember I was in this waiting room just, God, what's happening? What's going on? Just crying out to God. And I'm sharing this story with you because all of us have different stories and things that we've gone through. Amen? And we've all gone through difficult trials. Maybe it's not the trial that I have gone through, but you've gone through your own. You could tell a story as well. And I remember being in the waiting room and a different doctor that I didn't know coming into the room and saying, would you come with me? And I was confused at the time. You know, we're going to talk about a blind man in the story in the Bible. And at that moment, everything I knew, I couldn't see anymore. I was emotionally blind. This doctor says, won't you follow me? And I said, well, where are you taking me? I need to be here close to my wife's room to know what's happening. And so the doctor just followed me, and she walked with me into a different room, and she says, congratulations, you have a daughter. We had decided not to find out what the baby was going to be. We wanted to be surprised. And honestly, in the struggle of that morning with everything that had happened, I had completely forgotten that we were there to give birth to a child. And I remember I walked into this room, and the baby, because of this scenario by which she had to be brought out, she had all these things plugged into her that were helping her to, because she wasn't doing what normal babies do. And the doctor said, would you want to hold her hand and just touch her and say hi to her? They took her to the NICU. And eventually a doctor came back to update me on how my wife was doing. They said she's lost a lot of blood, but we managed to stabilize her, and we're going to take her up to the surgical intensive care unit. So that began a week of pain. You understand what I'm saying? Pain. Pain unlike anything I've ever felt before. My wife was in the surgical intensive care unit. The baby was in the neonatal intensive care unit. The two most important women in my life were fighting for their lives. I want to talk about the blindness of pain for a moment. Because sometimes we experience different kinds of pain, and we cannot see correctly anymore. It clouds everything that we're doing. I remember I'm sitting there in a waiting room, and God bless my youngest brother, who happened to be the first one who could get there after we gave the family some news. And he came in, and And I remember in the cloud of pain that I couldn't see what's happening, what's going on, are they going to live? God, what is the deal? I remember just seeing my little brother who just kind of walked in, not realizing what was happening. And I just went over to him. And it's such a blessing to see people that you know and love in moments of trial and difficulty. Amen? Someone asked me, you know, what's the greatest thing I could do for a friend or a family member who has lost a loved one or who has experienced pain? And the greatest thing that you could possibly do for someone is just simply be there for them. And I remember I hugged my little brother and just cried on his shoulders. As the week went on, my wife in the surgical intensive care unit got worse and worse. And the baby, by God's grace and mercy, got better and better. At some point, we realized she's going to live. She's going to be okay. And that child is, her name is Sarah Sophia. She is 9 years old, and she is Daddy's princess. And I'm so thankful that in the midst of pain, God gave us life. In the midst of death, my late wife, of course, ended up passing away. And I share that story with you just so that you know a little bit about where I'm coming from. You know, since that time, I see things differently than I used to see them before. The scripture says that Jesus and the disciples walked by this blind man who was blind from birth. It was just his lot in life. And some people here might feel, this is my lot in life. I've just been like this. I've experienced this pain. I've experienced this thing. And I cannot see clearly anymore. And the disciples asked an interesting question. They asked Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents? Why did this happen? And I can tell you that a million times I asked myself and people around me asked me, why would God allow something like this to happen? Why would he allow your wife, who was in the process of giving birth, to die? And I just want to say right off the bat, I still tell people this, I don't know why. I don't know why. But in the midst of the pain, Jesus walked by my life and our family's life, and he spoke some words. We talk about red letters, amen? He spoke some words that brought life in the midst of it. The scripture says that even though Jesus says, hey, nobody sinned, this man didn't sin, nor his parents, there's something inside of us that always wants to assign blame. I remember while I was in the hospital and my wife was still fighting for her life, she was still in machines, we still weren't sure what was going to happen, some well-meaning people came in and said, well, something must have gone wrong, something must have happened, somebody must have done something, because it cannot be God's will for this woman who is a wife and a mom and shares the gospel and she pastored with me, she was a minister of the word, it cannot be God's will for her to go like this. Something must have gone wrong, and there's something inside of us that always wants to either assign blame or know exactly why things happen. But Jesus said to the disciples, no, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the work of God would be displayed in this person's life. The first point I want to share with you today is that I believe wholeheartedly, through my experiences, and maybe you've experienced this too, that Jesus' words bring clarity. Jesus' words bring clarity. In the midst of confusion, in the midst when we don't know, Jesus' words bring clarity. In the middle of that week while I was in the hospital, I remember I was broken. They had just told me that morning, she lost too much blood, her brain is not there anymore, she in essence is gone. And I had whispered into her ear, I had said, I'm going to take care of our kids. Thank you for the life you gave us. And I went to my room and I broke down and I said, God, I don't know what to do. And the Lord spoke to me in the middle of the pain. Aren't you thankful that God still speaks even when we're losing it all? Amen? That God speaks to us. He still loves us. He's still seated on the throne, even when we feel like everything in our lives is breaking apart. And so he spoke to me and said, Lewis, I want you to worship me. Some months before this had happened, I had been in my church office just having a time with God. And the Lord had said, I want you to worship, Lewis, because out of your worship, strength is going to come. You're going to need worship for strength. And at that time, I had no idea why God was saying that to me. But that morning in the room, after everything had happened, I had just heard this bad news. God said to me, I want you to worship me. And I said, God, I know you told me that worship would be my strength and that I would worship you and you would give me strength from that. But right now, God, I just can't do it. And the Lord said again, I want you to worship me. And I remember I found a Pandora app and I just found a worship song. I was like, I can't sing anything, but I'm just going to put something on there. And I remember a song coming on saying, here I am worshiping you with all I have, worshiping you, bowing down in spirit and truth, with lifted hands, worshiping you. And in the midst of my pain, I didn't know what to do. And so I had heard the words of Jesus that bring clarity, saying, I want you to worship me. And so I just, as best I could in the midst of that, I just started, Lord, you are still God. I still believe in you. And then a line came on from the song, and this line set me free at the moment and said, I'm going to worship you forever. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to worship you forever. I'm going to worship you. And in that moment, I sense the Lord reminding me, Lewis, this world is not our final destination. There is an eternity that awaits all of us. And all of us who have put our faith in Jesus, we have an eternity that's awaiting for us. This is not our final destination. I was still in pain. I was still crying. I still needed Kleenex every 2 seconds. But God had reminded me that there is more than what I see. And so clarity came. My prayer for you, whatever you're going through, whatever you have gone through, is that the words of Jesus would bring clarity into your life. It's not your fault. It's not your parents' fault, like the blind man. We don't have to assign blame. But perhaps God wants to use what the devil meant for evil to turn it around for good. And so the scripture says that Jesus went and spit on some mud and put it on the man's eyes that was blind. And he told them, I want you to go and wash at this pool named Siloam, which means sent. And the man went. And when he did what Jesus had said, he came back seeing. He came back seeing. There's a blindness that comes from pain. I want to talk for a moment. I didn't do this last night, but I just felt like the Lord wanted me to share it this morning. There's a blindness that comes from sin as well. You know, most of the time, sin for you and for me is not, I'm going to explicitly and obviously go against God. Most of the time, what sin is for you and for me is a distortion of something beautiful that God has for us that the enemy tries to distort. And I want to just talk about this for a moment. When I was between 5 and 7 years old, I was at a family member's house, and at the back of the house, there was a room with a TV on it, and I remember my cousins were huddled around this TV, and I was, again, 5, 6, 7 years old, and I remember that I walked over to see what are my cousins so excited about, why are they huddling around this TV, and when I went and looked, what I saw on the screen were people without any clothes on. That's all I'll say, in case you're nervous about that. And something happened as I was seeing this, and it was just for a brief few moments, but if I can be honest with you, I still remember what I saw when I was a little guy. I wasn't looking for it. It wasn't my conniving plan, but I was exposed to something that I would later find out, according to God's words, is supposed to be intimacy between a man and a woman, a husband and wife, is supposed to be a beautiful thing, a gift from a woman to a man and vice versa, a gift that is given after marriage, and it's supposed to be a beautiful thing, but the enemy tried to distort the beautiful thing that God had planned in our sexuality. And as a young man, he tried to distort something in my heart. Is it okay to be honest this morning? Is that okay? Because sometimes blindness comes from pain, but sometimes blindness comes from sin. And when sin distorts the beautiful thing that God has done, we can't see clearly. And praise God that Jesus walks up to this man and he does an unusual thing. He takes mud and he takes of Jesus's substance and he mixes it with something that is known, something like mud. You know, the scripture says that out of the ground he created human beings, he created people. And so there's something about the earth and something about Jesus's, what comes out of Jesus's mouth that brings life. And when he puts it on this man's eyes, he can see. All of a sudden, he sees what he's never seen before. The words of Jesus not only bring clarity, but they also bring healing. As I advance in years, the Lord reminded me and showed me, here's what I say about how we view people, how we view women, how we view other human beings. Because at 5 or 7 years old, that scene with my cousins was trying to distort what was in my mind, was trying to lie to me about the purpose of human bodies and sexuality. And so at some point, I had to be exposed to the words of Jesus, who says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. The words of Jesus who say, hey, it's not only in my sight, Lewis, it's not only wrong to commit adultery, to sleep with a woman you're not married to, but anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery in their heart. The truth and the clarity of God's word, it was powerful, it was convicting, it was what I was exposed to was not God's dream. Just because you and I have been exposed to certain things doesn't necessarily mean it is God's dream and purpose for you. But Jesus wants to walk by your life as he walked through mine. He wants to put mud and put of his breath in that mud. And he wants to open our eyes so that when we see other people, we see them as sons and daughters of God. So that when we think about who we are and how our bodies are created and the gift of sexuality, that it is an offering to God that we bring to him. And I'll just say very quickly, for anyone that's struggling in that area, or frankly, any areas of addiction or sin or any areas, here's a couple of things that I found, and I'll just move on from this. God has rigged our lives, both when the blindness of pain comes and the blindness of sin comes, so that we need God and we need people. We need God and we need people. The church is the body of Christ, because if it was enough for us to just go into our room, say a prayer, and read the Bible, we would be fine, but it's not. We need the body of Christ. We need men to come alongside. We need sisters to come alongside. We need people to walk with us on this journey so that God can use earth, people, but we also need the substance of the living God, his word, his spirit. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And I have found freedom in the area of lust and sexuality because other men have come alongside and walked this journey with me. But the very breath, the very, if you will, saliva of God has touched my heart and it's transforming and reorienting and healing how I see people. Amen? The words of Jesus bring clarity. The words of Jesus bring healing. I remember when I was in the hospital in the days when my wife was still plugged into machines, and the thing I most dreaded was having to tell my 7-year-old son. You understand? They were very close. His mom homeschooled him. He was the light of her eyes and vice versa. And I remember driving in a Rochester winter December night, driving to my parents' house because I had just heard from the doctors. They had just said, she's gone. She really is. But we're not declaring her yet. And I remember thinking, God, don't let him declare her dead yet before I have a chance to speak to my son. Because I don't want the next words that I speak to my son to be that his mom is gone. And so it was 2 or 3 in the morning. I got in the van. I drove over to my parents' house. On the way there, I called 2 friends It was literally 2, maybe 3 o'clock in the morning. And both of them answered, and they prayed with me, and they gave me strength and encouraged me. How many know we need other people? Amen? We need other people. So I got to my parents' house. I went upstairs where my son was asleep. My parents got out of the bed because they were together, and my parents left, and my aunt who had flown in when she had heard, they all went to a different place in the house, and I sat there on the bed, and I had to tell my 7-year-old son what was happening. And at some point, he looked at me and said, "Do you mean to say that mommy could die?" And I said, "Yes, son." And I heard cries from him that I have not heard before or since that night. That was the hardest thing I've had to do in this journey. But I was thankful for the counsel of good friends who said, "You know, Jesus brings clarity to us. Make sure you're clear and truthful with your son. Don't hide from him." And I remember that the whole family was kind of huddled up in the kitchen. And my son says, I need to walk downstairs. So he walks downstairs and he said to me, "Daddy, I need to just be alone for a moment." He's 7 years old. And of course, every instinct in me was like, "No, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want to be with you right now." He says, "Daddy, I need to be alone for a moment." So I went and joined the rest of my family. And they were like, "How's he doing?" And I'm like, I couldn't even talk. A few moments later, I walked back to the living room. I could still see it in my mind's eye. And he had gone on the couch. He had gotten on his knees. And he was praying to God. He was crying out for his mom, for healing, for a miracle of God. I was amazed at that scene. Later on that day, we would have the opportunity to go visit the hospital, and because her body was still technically alive, she was still warm to the touch. It still smelled like her. And we held her hands and we prayed together as a family for what would be one of the last moments. But in the midst of pain, the blindness of pain, the words of Jesus brought clarity and comfort, brought healing in the midst of it through other people, through us connecting with God, connecting with Him. Sometimes in the midst of the pain and the blindness of sin, God will bring other people and His word to bring healing to our hearts. The words of Jesus transform our words too. You know, if you spoke to me before all of this happened, I would just have a different way of looking at the world. But God's given me one of my testimonies is I tell people, make sure you have peace with God. We did not expect for her to be gone like that. No matter what, we don't know when our time will end. Make sure you have peace with God, and make sure you have peace with others. By God's grace, when she passed away, my late wife Joanne, we had talked about everything, we have shared everything, we had forgiven everything. Are you with me? Everything had been discussed. And I think to myself, thank you, God, for that gift. But what if, you know, sometimes there's tension between marriages and relationships, and sometimes we hold on to frustrations and resentments. And here's what came to my mind. You know, after her death, if she had gone and we still had resentment, would that matter to me? The answer is no. And if it's not important for me to hold on to if she passes, then let's go ahead and not hold on to it while they're living. Let's go ahead and make things right today in Jesus' name. Amen? The words of Jesus bring clarity. They bring healing. The man was asked, this man who was blind, "Who healed you? What happened?" And he said, "The man named Jesus put mud on my eyes and healed me." There's another part in the scriptures, and again, John chapter 9 is a powerful story. The Pharisees wanted to paint Jesus in a negative light, and so, hey, give glory to God. This man is a sinner because he's doing things on the Sabbath. You know, sometimes Jesus works in our lives in ways that we cannot understand. And the man simply said, the one who had been born blind, he said, "I don't know if he's a sinner or not. Here's what I know. I was blind, but now I see. I don't know what you're saying about Jesus, but here's what I know. In the moment of my greatest pain, he held on to me and to my family. And I am alive today because of the grace and the mercy of God. My daughter is alive today because of the grace and the mercy of God. Finally, the Pharisees kick out the blind man from the church, if you can imagine that. He's finally been healed, and they kick him out because it didn't fit the mold. I'm just going to simply say, not everyone that you, when you experience a touch from God that brings clarity to you, brings healing, whether it's from pain or from sin, not everyone's going to understand that. Some people might push you away. They push this man away, and here's what the scripture says in John 9:35 and following. Jesus heard that they had thrown him, the blind man, out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. I want you to see that Jesus not only is after bringing clarity and even bringing healing. He had just opened this man's blind eyes. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, if you open somebody's blind eyes, your work is done. Are you with me? But Jesus is not content to just fix us. He's not just content to make things okay. And he has done that in my life. 2 years after my late wife's death, I met a lady. Her name is Amy. She fell in love with me. I fell in love with her. She fell in love with my kids. We now have a son of our own. And 3.5 years after I lost my late wife and after being a single dad for 3.5 years, which was plenty enough, I married Amy. She became a mom to my oldest two, who immediately said, "We want to call you." And God gave us a gift of Samuel David, who is now 5 years old. He's blessed with the gift of Down syndrome, and talk about blind eyes being open. I knew nothing about special needs world, Down syndrome, nothing at all. I was scared to death when I heard that he might be Down syndrome because I did not know it. I couldn't see it, but he has become the absolute joy of our lives, and where there was blinders, now we can see. This is joy. A person says, "I'm convinced that God did not give us Down syndrome people in this world so that they can learn, but God sent Down syndrome people so that they can teach." And our son continues to teach us. But Jesus is not content just to fix our situation. And I pray, if you're struggling with an addiction or a sin that no one else knows, I pray that the light of Christ would shine on that. He wants to bring healing. He wants to touch you. He wants to put mud in your life and bring healing out of who he is. I pray that will happen for you. But that's not the end game. The end game, see, Jesus says, "Do you believe?" What are you going to base your life from now on? Do you believe in the Son of Man? Not in a political party, not in a person that has some nice words, not in money, not in popularity, not in whatever it may be. Do you believe in the Son? And this man who had been healed, who had already testified about what Jesus had done for him, he says, I'm going to base my life. I'm going to put my faith in this Jesus. And the scripture says that he worshiped. How can I receive this kind of clarity, this kind of healing and faith in my life? I'll finish with this. I want to encourage you to listen daily to the words of Jesus. Listen daily to the words of Jesus. If you are in, your blindness comes from pain, or your blindness comes from sin, or just simply aware of what is in front of you, listen daily to the words of Jesus because they'll bring clarity. They'll bring healing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the words of God, the red letters that were paid for by Jesus through his blood. The red letters represent that he paid a price so that we can be free. Listen to those words. Number two, decide to trust the words of Jesus. Make it a choice. "God, I'm going through hell," or "God, I'm struggling with this. I don't understand everything, but I'm going to choose to trust what you say over what anyone else says, in Jesus' name." And finally, I'm going to encourage you to live your life according to the words of Jesus. According to the words of Jesus. but I'm a Republican, or I'm a Democrat, I listen to my party. Or I'm Puerto Rican, I listen to my fellow Puerto Rican folk. No, I'm going to live my life. I hear what political parties say. I hear what my ethnicity says. I hear what people around me say. I hear what wise people say. But my life is going to be lived according to the words of Jesus, because he is the only one that in the middle of your hell can bring life, can bring healing, can bring clarity, can even bring faith. And may we all, as a response, worship the Lord. Father, thank you for your word. We need you today. Thank you for the clarity, the healing, and the faith that you bring. We trust you. We look to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jesus. The clarity, healing, and faith that you long for is found in the words of Jesus. Receive the blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you, loved ones, and give you peace. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. God bless you. We love you. Have a good one.